Well, by the way, McDonald's, they're in 118 countries, 35,000 restaurants worldwide. Amazing. We're going to come back with Craig Hewlett in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. I'll talk with him about what he sees the future of America over the next 5 to 10 years, and then we'll take your calls as well. Welcome back. Craig Hewlett with us. We'll get to your calls in just a second. Okay, Craig, the big question, your crystal ball, look up there 5 years, 10 years from now, what's the country look like? What's going on?
Well, I can tell you in the next 3 years, there's a very strong likelihood of some level of an economic collapse. Not to the extent that, you know, we might view it as another Great Depression, but I think there's going to be a massive correction here in this society that will cause foodstuffs to dry up on shelves. There may be lines for food. There will be possibly savings, 10% of your savings may be confiscated by the federal government. Pension plans, IRAs, 401ks, your retirement accounts and pensions may be nationalized. In the next 3 years, a lot of very bad things are going to happen independent of each other, and nobody's going to connect it all to a political environment where the outcome is already expected by the government. And part of it is, have you ever heard the phrase, there is tranquility in ignorance?
Yep.
But servitude is its partner.
Mm-hmm.
I think the American people are going to finally wake up to the fact that while the yoke rests lightly on our shoulders, we are going to realize that we as sovereign citizens have absolutely no control of our government, no control of our personal lives. I think people are going to mistakenly, angrily react. We will see Homeland Security more effectively than ever on the streets of major metropolitan areas, short of martial law, but it's going to feel a lot different around this country because it's going to be a very high-tech feudalism. And we're already at that point. It is a high-tech feudalism. Even the Stasi and the Soviet Union, those countries as nation states could never have put their people under the level of surveillance and control that our own government has done to us, beginning with the Bush Jr. administration. It's been codified under Obama, and I know that the plan is to put Jeb Bush in the White House after Obama leaves. They'll run Hillary, but you know, Hillary's got so much baggage, she won't be that hard to get rid of, and it'll be easy to run Jeb Bush. Are we capable of electing another Bush in the White House? I think yes.
It's possible.
I think it's very, very likely, in my opinion, because what I've witnessed, the illiteracy of the American people has grown to the point where we're now 40th in the world on SAT scores. With studies like the Pew Research Center does studies on a regular basis, discovering that illiteracy in America now is running 70% of the population can't even write a regular letter. So how are we going to be able to claim to be a self-governed nation when a third of our population is permanently unemployed? You know, I don't think it's necessarily, even though I'm libertarian as hell about it, that marijuana, do whatever you want. But I also grew up in the 60s, and what I saw with people that were freely using great amounts of marijuana is an insufferable lack of ambition.
They were pretty laid back, weren't they?
They were pretty laid back. They really didn't get out and earn a living, and they never did, actually. They're now my age, and they're still smoking dope.
Well, okay? Have you ever seen someone who has to give you change if their computer is down? And the computer doesn't add it and subtract it for them? They can't do it.
I know. I was shocked to find out that they now, in most restaurants, they figure out the tip for you and put it in the bill because people can't even do the math in their head. But they also have discovered, Pew just discovered, that the American people polled read now less than one book a year. 50% of American adults read less than one book per year. And it's usually a Stephen King or something of that nature. It's not a political tome titled Empire or anything like that. Ask them to read a book on strategy of interdependence. they look at you with a blank stare on their face. And why? Why would I want to read something like that? That's boring.
Do you think the internet, which has helped create almost the death of newspapers and magazines, magazines going out of business left and right because of the internet, has literally destroyed America's ability to read and grasp these important things?
Yeah, critical thinking is out the window.
All gone.
I mean, in fact, now at major universities like Yale and Princeton, every year the professors have to start the new students that come to the major universities, they have to start them out with critical thinking classes, remedial reading and spelling skills. They're coming to them illiterate. And how they're managing to graduate them is beyond me. But I do know this. I've been doing this 35 years. 30 years ago, when I would do a talk show, the level of intelligent discourse was incredible. The dialectic that took place between caller, host, guest, on the topics, the number of books you could sell, nonfiction, hard political literature you could sell, was staggering 20 years ago. Now,
it's not
there. You can't get 10 people to show up at a lecture on a political issue. No. They don't care, and many of them can't care because they can't read and write. So my crystal ball, if you want to call it that, is called empirical evidence, and my ability to ascertain that if A and B happens, C will necessarily happen. So A and B is, in fact, happening. It doesn't take a crystal ball to see that we're going to lose the country and we're going to lose the Bill of Rights. We are not going to take back the country. And if we revolt, I'm afraid it'll be revolting, the kind of revolt that we do. I think we'll attack each other, blacks against whites, Mexicans, Koreans. We will go backwards as a people. We will not join ranks and say, you know, throw the bankers and the Federal Reserve out and throw the 435 liars and con artists that occupy the Senate and the House, throw them out, replace them. Because we don't know how to replace them. We wouldn't know what to replace them with.
We wouldn't know what to do. That's exactly right. Hey, let me ask you this. Tomorrow I'm doing a couple hours on this, but I want to get your reaction. Have you been following the story of these bankers who've been committing suicide? This is weird.
It's part of a new paper I'm preparing. Something's
going on here.
I think you're right. And now there's a couple of leading news agencies are starting to ask the question, including Bloomberg. Are beginning to ask the question, is this a coincidence? Are they all suicides? I mean, I can't believe anybody would commit suicide with a nail gun.
No, I don't think so either. There's something they know
I can't picture it. I just, for some reason, I don't think
that's you're not going to do yourself in with a nail gun.
But there's some suppressed news that they're still trying to suppress in the San Jose area a year ago. There were all these electrical, I don't know what the electrical boxes are called, but the big power centers where these big boxes are up there that are water chemically cooled by some liquid inside the box. And an orchestrated attack, 12 snipers took out 12 of these boxes throughout this entire region and caused a very slow meltdown and power outage. They left behind 308 shells fired from semi-automatic weapons.
That's right.
In other words, these guys were snipers, and they sent a signal. We're not happy, and we can fight back. Now, they covered it up for over a year and called it a power shortage. There were all kinds of reasons for it, but it finally came out. But no, when they went and investigated it, and of course, what they did is they punctured a hole in this container. And the liquid drained.
It drained out.
The liquid drained out. Everything overheated,
yep.
And the power went out.
They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing.
They knew exactly what they were doing. And it was timed perfectly.
Yep. Let's take some calls here for you. Kevin, first of all, truck driving in our great town of Toronto, Canada, on the international line. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going tonight, guys?
Good, Kev.
Good, good, good. Yeah, I'm just pushing snow up here. You keep me awake most nights. I was just wondering, and I'll take the answer off the air,
sure.
Of everything you're speaking of, how it's going to impact me here north of the border.
All right, good question. How about Canadians? What's going on up there, Craig?
Canada is going to be affected no differently than every Western industrialized nation. We're all now in the same boat, because it's a corporate empire. It's not an American empire. It's not a Canadian-British empire. It's a corporate empire. And that empire of multinational corporations, that's why it's called a regime. But understand the word regime when I use it. You could have a sewing regime where 12 little old ladies get together and they crochet. I'm talking about a corporate regime that's a governing body with laws and rules and treaties and bilateral agreements that how the world will be run. We've already given over, U.S. and Canada has already given over its sovereignty to those regimes, the IMF, the World Bank, the Federal Reserve System, all of it. That's what the euro is a good example of it, of them giving up their sovereignty willingly. Well, we're giving it up ignorantly. We don't even know it's being taken from us.
If you were running these huge corporations, wouldn't you think this was brilliant?
It is brilliant.
Yep.
It is absolutely brilliant. Three Zurich scientists just got together, and they got together with a designer of holograms, where they could 3D dimension, 3D featured things.
Yeah.
And they created a model of this corporate network of corporations. They got 40,000 corporations, and then based them on this, it's like a sphere. And on the very outside of the sphere are all the corporations. Then as you get closer to the center of the sphere, it's where these corporations interlock with other corporations and sit on each other's board of directors. One will own shares in the other corporation. When it gets down to it, it narrows down to the very middle core of 147 corporations that control 90% of everything that happens economically and financially in the world. And they're outright saying, there's no question this is control. This isn't just some happenstance of people buying shares in corporations. They pegged it. They weighted their study about control. Do the decisions made by the 10 largest banks affect the 400 corporations at the center of this core? And there's no question now they do, and they're proving it with empirical evidence. This is the first time anybody's able to put it into a study and prove that these corporations have absolute control over and above the nation states.
Indeed, indeed. Let's go next to Ted in Columbia, Tennessee, east of the Rockies. Ted, you're on with Craig Hewlett on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Good evening, George. Good evening, Craig.
Hi.
I have three ideas to talk about. Number one, President Obama today was in Mexico with the Prime Minister of Canada and with the President of Mexico. What do you think they were talking about, leading to your previous discussion? Number two, the reason why they took all the bullets or they're taking all the bullets is not that they're trying to seize the bullets. It's what the bullets are made of. All the brass that was used in the Iraq war has now been given to the gun manufacturers to make bullets. That brass is contaminated. They don't want to tell the population that all the servicemen have radiation poisoning. They're trying to push off this PSD thing. But if you got any bullets from probably 2003 to 2007, check them with those Geiger counters that you have, and you'll see that they are slightly radioactive.
Spent uranium.
That's the real reason to try and take it out. The third idea, the reason why the climate is all messed up is not because of global warming and everything else. Dubai has had a harp machine since 2003. They created those islands made that look like palm trees and other stuff. They have all turned green since 2003. They were sand color before 2003. Saudi Arabia told the Soviet Union it was going to destroy their Olympics. They have a harp machine. If Dubai has one, you know the Saudis grab one. They're running the harp. What is directly on the other side of the earth than us? It's Sochi. Right below Sochi is Iraq, and right below Iraq is Dubai and Saudi Arabia. If you look at how the climate has moved ahead, or the high airstream currents have changed, bringing in the cold, on the other side where the Soviet Union is, it has been extremely warm. You can see how it has all pushed up. What do you think of those ideas?
Lots of ideas there, Craig. Take a few.
Well, the last one I have absolutely no comment on at all. The one about the bullets, though, is highly speculative and inaccurate. And the fact is, you know, the ammunition is new ammunition that is being purchased by Homeland Security. And again, the Department of Education, Oceanic, Atmospheric Administration has bought 140,000 rounds of ammunition for themselves. The Federal Reserve is hiring new police officers, federal officers, arming them and having them guard the Federal Reserve. The IRS is now being guarded by an increase in Homeland Security personnel. The ammo being bought is not training ammo, and it's not for any reason like that. It's for the reason I said. They know there's going to be food shortages, economic collapse. Entire areas in this country will suffer horrendously. In not every single area, like one of the people that were on your show earlier in a news spot, there are areas that are doing really well financially.
Oh, sure.
But other areas have completely collapsed entirely in Northern California, in Oregon, Washington State. So when these things do happen, I'm going to repeat it. The American people have lost their edge. Okay? I love my country. I've done this for almost 40 years because I care about my country.
You wouldn't be saying this if you didn't.
But being a disloyal American against an American government that is acting against the citizenry, that's not treason in my view. Snowden's not a traitor. He's a hero.
I believe that too.
Identified like Tony Sutton before me and Jim Mars and hundreds of people over the years. Exposing government misdeeds is a necessary component of remaining free. In Weimar Germany, the disloyal Germans that resisted the Nazis did not speak out.
And look what happened.
And that's why it happened. And Stefan Hafner wrote a book, Jekyll and Hyde, talking about the German people in exactly this context that I'm talking about. The American people need to become disloyal to a corrupt regime that's in power, usurping power, and abolishing the Bill of Rights right under our nose. And if we don't do something about it, there will be a point where we cannot any longer do anything about it.
It'll be too late.
It'll be too late. And we're now very close to too late. And if we get Jeb Bush in the White House, which is highly likely, then I can tell you we will be on a slippery slope like you cannot possibly believe.
Well, we shall see. You're going to be doing some analysis with me, Craig, as we get close to that 2016 time period. It's going to be an interesting election, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's already preordained it'll be Hillary Clinton. Barbara Bush coming out in favor of Hillary Clinton is a ruse. I can't believe anybody took it seriously when she said, I don't want my Bush son, Jeb Bush, to run for president. And I think, Hillary, it's a ruse. Okay, they're playing you. It's the Bush family you're talking about. It's a politicized oligarchy that I've begun calling them the Saudis of the West. They wish they could openly wear the white robes.
Hold on for a second, Craig. We're going to come back and take final phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, don't tell them, but I think we're going to invite Craig to be one of our guests in a future Beyond Belief television show. How about that? You can watch that program free, 10 days to take advantage of that free offer by going to this website, beyondbelief.com, www.beyondbelief.com. Welcome back. Craig Hewlett with us. We'll take your final phone calls in this very fast-going program, to be sure. Craig, what are you working on these days, by the way? You never stop.
Well, I'm probably glad you asked that because I never promote myself properly. I don't know why. I have a resistance to it. I have a new book coming out called Corporatism and Nihilism, A Theory of Fascism. And you can't have full-blown fascism without nihilism. And the book will explain why we will have full-blown nihilism in this country. Drug legalization, gay marriage, all the things that don't interest me are in that category of things that I don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there matters that people care about.
Sure, I understand.
But I care about the things that matter politically, economically, financially in the world that's going to affect all of us. But they can't create a global fascist regime without there being full-blown nihilism in countries like the United States, because we have to be occupied the way the people in Weimar Germany were. They have to be occupied with the things that don't matter to government, so then the government could go on violating your rights and surveillance and tyranny, basically. You'll be living under a kind of tyranny, but it'll be a high-tech, comforting tyranny. You'll have your drug usage. They just announced they want felons to be able to vote when they get out of prison. They want them to be able to vote, removing the restriction about voting if you're a felon. So, you know, how could these things correspond to the original founding of this country? Why is it that what interests the American people are things like gay marriage and the next athlete that comes out and says, I'm gay? Who cares? Why is this even of interest to the American people when we've lost nine of the 10 Bill of Rights are gone? We've lost them. They're finished. Posse comitatus.
Never
finished.
To come back again.
Never to come back again. And yet we don't seem to care, because 100 million of us would rather sit at home, stay at home. 31% of American males live at home with their mother.
And that's growing.
They don't get married. They don't get a job. They don't do anything. They literally stay at home and play video games.
And how old are they?
18 to 35.
Jeez.
31% Jeez. Live at home.
Let's go to Carlos, Carson City, California. Carlos, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Craig and Georgia.
Hi, Carlos.
Craig, I'm not so sure that the government is afraid of the rebellion after they create the next economic crisis. In fact, I think they're trying to provoke it. Look what happened with the bankers, where they got these huge bonuses, okay, in spite of the shenanigans they were doing. And in fact, not a banker has been incarcerated. What message does that send to the regular people on Main Street that lost their homes? And, of course, they're going to use the next economic crisis as an excuse to implement military tribunals, martial law, and, of course, the deployment of 30,000 drones, which already Obama has authorized by September 30th of 2015. That's going to lead us into the next level of the police state. So I think, in essence, they're trying to provoke all these things. And of course, the final blow is when they start closing banks and keeping our money or shaving off 10% of our deposits like they're doing in Cyprus. What you see happening in Europe is going to be happening here.
You're saying the government is going to provoke these incidents so they could declare martial law and clamp down on the country.
Exactly. Possibility, Craig?
Okay, first of all, we know there's going to be another bubble burst. Part of what I do in the private sector for my client base is I keep them informed. I knew there was a housing bubble, when it was going to burst. I told my clients years before it happened to sell off their rental properties. Don't end up upside down. Most of them listened. They came out okay. But it wasn't a big conspiracy to bring about the housing bubble. It was manipulation on the part of the largest mortgage holders to sell toxic loans. I mean, mortgages to other banks and investors that took the loss and they walked away free. They created it. The government had absolutely nothing to do with it. But the government's job is to protect the continuity of government. They know there's going to be some level of an economic collapse, a financial collapse. There'll be another housing bubble. And each time these things happen, Homeland Security will be there to make sure nothing gets out of control. And yes, it's going to look like the government orchestrated it. But I'm just saying they don't have to. America will defend the dollar to the death. The Federal Reserve is a privately owned, for-profit issuer of debt that we call money. They will protect it at all costs. There's only one way they can protect it. Raise interest rates. The minute interest rates start raising, when the bubbles will start bursting.
Look out. In big time, too. Let's go to Bill in the state of Washington, west of the Rockies. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, Craig.
Hello.
In 1950, Dwight D. Eisenhower, you know, claimed multinationals was the problem. And
That's
in 1940,
correct.
He was declared Supreme World Commander. What did he know in 1940s to
Well, actually, he made that claim about the multinational corporate military-industrial complex being the most dangerous thing that had evolved in our country. He made that statement after World War II, and I know why, because it was true. The American corporation was embedded in the military to fight World War II. FDR is the one that put bankers and corporate heads in charge of running the war, in the State Department, the Pentagon, in every position of power. But he also had made a statement that when the war was over, when we'd won the war, those men would be sent back to the private sector. Now, under FDR, I believe he would have done that. But under Truman, Truman was a bit of a knucklehead. He thought these guys were great because he was a little businessman. He thought they were great guys, so he left them in power. They have never left since. Eisenhower knew them well. But guess what? Before him, Abraham Lincoln warned of exactly the same thing. Giving the corporations too much power, we would lose the country to them. All of these things come about because of the corporate structure becoming a monopoly structure. They hate free enterprise, and I wish the left could figure this out instead of listening to Noam Chomsky and the Pacifica radio crowd. These corporations are not capitalists. They're not free market. Adam Smith, the hidden hand marketplace, they don't believe in any of that. They're monopolists. That's why they don't want any changes into a free market freedom system in the Middle East or in Africa. They'll put petty dictators in power in every case because they hate free enterprise.
Do you know our guest, Robert Young Pelton?
I've heard of him, yes.
He is out in Africa now looking for Kony.
Ah.
Joseph Kony.
Yes. And he has to die because he won't tolerate. Look, we got rid of Gaddafi because Gaddafi stood up to the multinational corporations that are right now in North Africa buying up arable land, water rights, gold, silver, chromium. You make a list. Gaddafi had to go because he had united 9 of the nation states in North Africa to oppose Western-led imperialism and corporate takeovers of their nation states. That's why we took him out.
Yeah, even though he wasn't a Boy Scout.
No, he was no Boy Scout, but he also was receiving an award. The week that he was taken out, he was receiving an award by the United Nations, backed by the United States, as having come the furthest to moving into the new corporate-led New World Order. He was actively pursuing it, but in the end, he was a nationalistic leader that did the most for his own people, and those are the guys that have to go. We love the Saudis. The Saudis are 10 times worse than Gaddafi or Saddam Hussein ever were.
The Saudis are financing all the real terrorists that are out there.
That's correct. The Saudis are now financing and training, along with Israel, the Al-Qaeda-backed rebels in Syria, because Syria has to go. Israel, America, and Saudi Arabia wants Assad out. Assad has to go. But here's the rub. If we keep pushing in this direction, the real conflict may come from China and Russia.
I agree.
Pushed into a World War III conventional war with those nation states.
They may say enough is enough.
Say enough is enough.
Let's go to Sharon in St. Augustine, Florida. Hi, Sharon. Go ahead.
Hi there. Craig, thank you so much for all your sound judgments. what is your take on the high-tech cell phones and smart meters?
I live in a place. I live in an ancient, old-growth rainforest, so my cell phones don't even work out here. But
my take on all of it,
technology has never not been a double-edged sword. The further we go down the road to high-tech cell phones, iPads, every bit of it can be turned around and used on us, the American people, and we don't seem to be able to grasp that because we just like the toys too much. We're too enthralled about having the newest, latest toy. I think it's an incredibly dangerous thing. You know, they have to deprogram children now because they sit in front of their computer all day.
Oh, they're mesmerized.
They deprogram them.
Yep, they're mesmerized by that stuff.
No, I think that's all the part of what we're going to see as the nihilism that is going to take over this country. We will have full-blown license and nihilism. And again, it's about the things that don't matter to me. I don't care about gay marriage or if you're gay. But my God, why are the American people treating these issues like marijuana and gay marriage like they're the most important thing in the world? Losing the country and the whole world is on fire.
Lisa's in Nantucket, Massachusetts. Lisa.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, George. And Craig, thank you so much for what for everything and for what you just said. What I wanted to talk about was how we are completely underrepresented in this government. We have 5% of our constitutional empowerment. The founders mandated that there should be one representative for every 20,000 United States citizens, and we have 5%. So there's no steering mechanism for this government. You can't be heard. Your voice cannot be heard. You are not represented. And that's how they're getting away with the stuff that they're getting away with.
They're also bought and paid for.
Well, there's no question that the 5% is bought and paid for. But think if we had our full constitutional empowerment. Think if you could go to your congressperson and be heard. It should be like jury duty. You go in, you do your time, and you get out. No insider information, no special favors.
Well, you know what? That's absolutely true. You're correct. We're not represented. We're underrepresented. But the ones that do represent us are bought and paid for by the multinational corporations and the banks.
It's always been that.
Both Democrat and Republican.
It's always been that way.
It's always been that way. Why we don't care is what really troubles me. The American people, by and large, don't care about politics at all anymore.
Do you remember the movie Network? Good old Peter Finch, the late Peter Finch, played Howard Beale, and he comes out. He's this news anchor man. That great scene, and I'm not playing it tonight. But, you know, he comes out and says, just leave us alone. Let us have our little television and our toaster and our radial tires, but leave us alone. I think most Americans just want to be left alone and live in their little corner, Craig.
And then they don't understand the French proverb, if you don't do politics, politics will do you. And FDR is the one that said nothing happens by accident in government.
No,
nothing.
Not at all. Not at all. Hey, anytime any event occurs these days, I always ask the question, who benefits first?
But see, again, if you go back, we've seen this before in countries like Weimar Germany. Even though the German people knew what Goebbels was doing, they knew what Hitler stood for, over half of the German population that were not loyal to the Nazi Party still refused to look up, get together, and do something to change it.
How many people will get involved in an assault on a subway or somewhere and break it up? Not many.
Not many. And the militarization of our local police, you know, we don't have to wait for Obama's standing army to be created. Every federal agency, every agency of the federal government, even the ones I've named that don't have any reason to have police powers, guns, badges, arrest powers, they're now 3-1. Federal law enforcement is now 3-1 over and above local, state police, and sheriff's departments. There's 3 federal officers of the federal government in some category to every 1 local cop.
That's huge. That's why they need 704 million rounds of ammo over the next
year. Yeah, well, you know, I guarantee you, if they try to confiscate guns, 2/3 of all the sheriffs have already signed petitions saying, if you try to collect guns in my county,
it's not going
to
happen.
It's not going to happen.
Nope.
But do you remember what Eric Holder said?
Well, yeah.
Then we'll show up armed.
Yep, yep. That's going to be an interesting thing. I don't think they'll ever disarm us, but you know what? I could be wrong.
Well, if they do, it won't come under Obama.
No.
It'll come under Jeb Bush.
You think it would?
Yes, sir, because that's the only way these things work. If you want to strip America of their civil liberties and the Bill of Rights, you can't do it if you're a Christian, patriotic, NRA, conservative Republican in the White House. But if you want to strip the Bill of Rights for the American people, a black liberal Democrat perceived to be a progressive is the way to go. But now if you want to take away guns, it's going to require a Jeb Bush. That's what they, we're not getting it, George. It's the two-party system that's killing America.
I'm telling you, you're going to be on this show a lot of times over the next 4 years, let me tell you.
Well, I'll sure try to still be here. This fourth book is killing me, I have to tell you.
And it, when does it come out?
Probably in June. I've been working on it now for 12 years.
Okay, you're going to tell us where you can get it at that time?
At that time, yeah.
Okay, Craig. I want to thank you. Give out your website, if you would.
Just CraigBHewlett.com, and every single thing I talk about, there's a PDF file on the website.
And the book, CraigBHewlett.com. Hydra of Carnage, still out there and available to people?
Hydra of Carnage and the two Nietzschean volumes, Global Triage and Human All Too Human.
Okay, super. Craig, thanks again for being on the program. Hey, he says it the way he sees it. And you know what? That's refreshing. We're coming back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. An incredible story occurred a few weeks ago about the Shroud of Turin. Some scientists said that it's dated, and it may be dated around the time of Christ. We're going to get into that, of course, with a very special guest, Barry Schwartz, on Coast to Coast AM.